Luke chapter 2. And I will ask this question while you're turning there. How many's looking forward to leaving tonight and going out in the cold? No hands? That means we can preach longer tonight, right? Anyway, Luke chapter 2, I want to read to you the verse that we read to you last Sunday. And, of course, it's a very familiar. And this is kind of a message to the Christmas program, which will be next Sunday, a pre-message. And we just simply called it the message of Christmas, the message of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, that verse never gets old to me because it talks about our Savior and it talks about Him coming as a babe. And I'm thankful for that verse and I'm thankful for this season as we celebrate the birth of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and we thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. And Lord, we just thank you for a good day that you've blessed us with. We know there's a lot of burdens and there's just a lot of things going on in people's lives. But Lord, we're thankful that we can look to you and we can find help. We can find strength. We can find peace in a world such as this with a lot of turmoil, with a lot of tragedies. Tragedies go on every single day of people's evilness. But Father, we can find peace in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we just ask that you help us tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What a special time of year as we think about Christmas. And if I've got it figured right, I was actually going to say that I've personally had 59 Christmases, but in reality, Lord willing, I will have 60 Christmases this coming December 25th. And every Christmas is just a little different. Every Christmas is a little different based upon the season, based upon the realization of what Christmas is. Now, the first few, I don't remember. I joke around with Darla when we get the history and they'll say such and such happened in 1966, which is the same year Darla and I were born. And you know, she's a few months younger than I am, and she'll tell me that quite often. But I'll say something like, "Well, I remember that," but in reality, I don't. So the first few Christmases, I don't remember. But there are some that I do remember. And I remember, as I was growing up, I was excited. I was excited about what was under the tree. I was excited about the gifts that was being presented. I was excited when I was old enough to purchase gifts, when my mother and dad would give me a little bit of money, and then I would buy presents for my family, and I was excited to see them open it. I remember they gave me a little bit of money one time, and I went and I don't know if I think they still make them. I'm not sure, but they used to sell great big candy canes. It was about this big around, and they were about a foot long. And I remember the first thing I bought all of my family was everybody got a great big candy cane. And I was excited about that. And I was excited when my grandmother would, knitted a scarf for all the grandchildren, and we lived away. And I could share with you Christmas memory after Christmas memory after Christmas memory. And then when Marshall was born, we were excited for him. We just like you were, your children, and so on and so forth. But you know, the older I get, and then the realization of how Christmases change. You know, there's missing family members, my parents aren't here anymore, and they tried their best to make Christmas as good as they could for their children. And my grandparents aren't here anymore, and you know what I'm saying, that Christmas has changed, but this is a special time of the year. And the reason this time is special, and the realization is it's special, because it's a message of Christ. And the realization that, as this verse was read to you just a few moments ago, where it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What does the message of Christ do? I just want to give you just a few thoughts tonight. There's not any particular thing that we're trying to get accomplished tonight, other than just I want it to just kind of reflect on what the message of Christ does. Reflect as we're going to be celebrating Christmas in just a few days, not too far from now. But what does the Christmas message do? What does the birth of Christ do? One thing that it should do is it should stir our soul. It should stir our soul because He cared enough about us to come. He cared enough about us to come. And it was no ordinary birth. We know that it was the virgin birth, and we shared with you this morning about Mary. But you know, He cared enough to come because in reality, without Him, we have no hope. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world's ideas are. It doesn't matter what man thinks and what he wants to get accomplished. But I will say this tonight, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope in the world. But He came. And He came as a babe. The Bible says He came wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laid in the manger because there was no room for Him in the inn. And of course, I think about that, and of course, you've heard many messages preached about no room, and how that even today there's individuals that have no room for Christ. Their busy lives, their ideas, and all those things, and I could give you a list of a host of things that people just don't care about Jesus, and we know that. But this message tonight is, what does it do for us? What does the message of Christmas do for us? We're not talking about what it does for the world, because we know that He came to save that which is lost. But what does it do for us as believers? Well, it should stir our soul, because He came for us. He came for us. He came with a purpose. It should also stimulate our devotion. You know, when I think about the Christmas season, and when I think about Christ, and when I think about the manger, we all know, we all know tonight that He didn't stay a babe. We all know that He grew, and He taught, and He healed, and He performed miracles. But in reality, He came because there was a price that had to be paid, and that price was paid for you and for me. You'll never find anyone that will love you as much as Jesus did. You'll never find anyone that cared for you like Jesus. There's a song that Brother Jim sang there's another song that I think of quite often, and there's a song it's called "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus," and how true that is. And so as we think about Christmas, and as we think about, and as I mentioned before in the beginning, Christmas has changed a lot down through the years because of the absence of our family and the absence of things that we used to do. But when we're talking about what does it personally do for us, then it should stir our soul, it should stimulate our devotion, because He came for us. He came for us. He came to give His all for you and for me. He came to give His all. When the Lord does something, then he does it right. And He gave His all. That's one thing that my dad taught me growing up that you don't see as much of now in the generations to come. But he always said, if you're going to do anything, give it 110%. And that's what he taught me. He said, in anything you do, he said, give 110%. And so when it come to what the Lord did and how, and why it should stimulate our devotion is because what he did was real and he did completely. He did it completely. It makes us want to give our all to him, or at least it should. We should never, when it comes to serving the Lord, we shouldn't, and it could be the smallest thing and it could be the largest thing, but anything that we do for the Lord, we should give our all to him because he gave his all to us. That's that devotion that, that he gave. It should stimulate our devotion. It should also show us his love. His love. The Christmas message, the message of Christmas shows us his love. He came and took upon himself the form of a servant. He came and took upon himself the form of a servant. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now we know Paul wrote that to Timothy, but you know, we should echo the same thing, that we should say he came into the world to save a sinner like me, of whom I am chief. Every one of us should have that same realization that we are the chiefest of sinners. You know, we don't gauge ourselves by someone else, and which is easy to do. We gauge ourselves amongst others, but when we gauge ourselves to a holy God, we're everyone the chiefest of sinners. We're everyone the chiefest of sinners because that's how we should look at things. We should look at things not at other people, but we should look at things as holy God and the fact that he is so holy and how that he came because he loves us. He came because he loves us. And that should show us his love as we celebrate Christmas. It should stir our soul. It should stimulate our devotion to him. And it should show us his love and the realization of his love as coming as a babe. Unwanted. He was unwanted. But yet he came to love us. And I think about that, and I think about why he came, and I think about as a babe. And there's times that we know that Christmas is a busy time, and we understand that there's a lot of activities and a lot of things that takes place. But there's another passage in the Bible that I think of, and it's actually in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And it's about the wise men. And I want to read to you that verse. And I thought it was kind of fitting that Luke chapter 2, verse 11 talks about how Christ was born. And he was our Savior. But Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says this. And when they were come into the house, they saw a young child, which Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They presented him with gifts. What can we give him? You see, Christmas gives him the glory. He's the one that had the plan. He's the one that made the plan. He's the one that saw the plan through for you and for me. And you realize that what he did and what was accomplished could never be repeated. Man cannot repeat the birth of Christ. When we think about Christmas, we say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done because of who he is. Christmas should bring us strength and our hope. Our hope. We know that Christ came as a babe. But do you remember he's coming again? That's the promise we have. John chapter 14, verses 1 and following, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And notice what it says. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the hope we have. That's the hope we have. That's the promise we have. And that's the realization as we celebrate Christmas. That's the realization because that's the purpose he came. And I like what it says and what he says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And we know that Christmas has changed down through the years because there's absence, there's empty chairs from how Christmases have gone by. But Christmas should give us hope because we're going to see Him one day. We're going to see Him one day. He came not only as a babe, but He's coming again for His children. You see, that's the hope we have. And as we think about the Christmas story, we know that He's coming again. That's how we can be encouraged in the commercialized Christmas that many share. We can be encouraged as believers because we know the true meaning of Christmas. And we understand the true meaning of Christmas. You see, He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. There's a song that says, "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me." But getting back to Matthew, they opened their gifts. They opened their treasures. They presented Him gifts. Let me ask you a question. Do you find, and we try to give gifts to our loved ones, and we know that, and we let people know how much you appreciate them. But do you find it a little harder to maybe purchase gifts now than maybe what it used to be? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, one of the Christmases, and I did it more than not. And I don't know what kids do today in reality, but I remember there used to be a Sears catalog that came out. And I always liked the one that gave they had the great big thick Christmas, had the great big thick Sears catalog, but they also had the little thin one. And I would be one of the ones that would always make sure my mother and dad knew where that catalog was. If I saw something covering it up, like a newspaper or something, I would uncover it and put it right back there on top. And I would have little pages marked and I would have circles around all these different things. But let me ask you a question. What do you give one who has everything? What do you give one who has everything? You know, the wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a symbol, and we could spend some time talking about that, but I just want to give you the few thoughts tonight. What can we give the Lord who owns everything? What can we give the Lord who, in reality, has everything? Well, I want to conclude this message tonight with some things that we can give this Christmas. The one thing that we can give is we can give Jesus our love. We can give Jesus our love. Our love. John chapter 21, verse 15 says, When they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. We show our love to him by the actions that we portray as believers to others. We show our love to him as we worship him, but yet it's more than that. Because if you really stop and think, when Christ came, he came with a purpose. And we understand that he healed and he changed lives, and we're so grateful for that. And he changed our life. But yet we're to be a light to this world. And you know as well as I do that this is a very dark world. And even the dimmest of lights can shine. But yet our light should be bright because we give Jesus our love. And our love is shown by our actions. Our love is shown by the way that we carry ourselves as believers. And I've been in some pretty dark places when I used to coon hunt a lot in when I was growing up, and I used to coon hunt a lot, and everything's done at nighttime. And there's been times that the darkness was great. And when there's no moon or no stars or anything out, and the darkness is great, and the light would go dim, and we would be out in the middle of the woods in the coon hunting, and the first thing we would start doing when we would get close to being lost, the first thing that we would start doing is we would start looking for any kind of a street lamp, any kind of light, any kind of yard lamp that somebody would have, a porch lamp or something. But we would look to that light. In reality, this world, whether they realize it or not, the world is looking for some kind of light. They are. They're looking for some kind of light. Now, they're looking in the wrong places, and we understand that. And they're looking to artificial light. But the light of Christ shines. And we show that. We show our love to him by being a light to this world. Because we're honoring him and we're glorifying him. We're not lighting ourselves, but we're lifting up Jesus. And we show him, what do you give someone who has everything? We give him our love. We give him our love. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Luke 7:47. The Bible says, Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins were as many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth a little. In other words, this during this event that had taken place, this woman had gave everything. And he said, She loved much. I hope that's what people can say about every one of us, is that they loved much. They loved much. As we spend time with him, as we speak, honoring him, and as we serve him, we should serve in everything that we do. We should serve in love because we love him. That's what we do. Our service for him and anything that we do for him, we should give our best because he gave his best for us. We give him his love, the love that he deserves. And then number two, or the next part of this message is this: we can give him our aspiration. Our aspiration. I think about that, and I think about a verse that's found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ. You know, we should make Him our desire. We should make Him our desire. You know, when we plan for trips, or when we plan for different events, or when we plan, we make sure we have this and that. And sometimes when we forget something, we have to turn around. We were headed to a trip a number of years back. And of course, most of you know that we like to go to the mountains. Most of you know that many in the church, because of Brother Howell's teaching, many of us, you know, we a lot of times will have our protection with us. And so we got all the way to the other side of Statesville. We were on our way to the mountains, and we were almost to, I think we might have even been close to Hickory. And then I realized I don't have my license. And so we had to turn back around and drive all the way back. What a disappointment. But we had to go all the way back, because ultimately, in reality, if I had something concealed and I didn't have my license, that's not good. So then I told Darla, I said, "Okay, we're going to put this on the dash and you're going to carry now." And she just kind of looked at me. But the point is, we prepare and we plan for trips, and we forget things and we have to go back for things. But you know, when we give Him our aspirations, we should make it our desire to love Him more, to be in love with Him every day, to show Him our love. And we should make Him our desire to love Him, to love Him, and to love Him, because He loved us. As we plan for different things, and we make sure everything's just right. You know, you ever thought about, and I speak to myself as much as anybody, do you ever thought to yourself to plan to love Him? What am I going to do today to love Him more? What am I going to do today to love Him more? And then also, what do we give Him? We give Him our attention. We give Him our attention. When I was growing up, and when we had moved away from the mountains and moved away from my grandparents, they would all sit around and talk. You don't see much of that as much anymore, but they used to sit around and they used to talk, and we would sit around, and especially when we went in the wintertime, when it was around Christmas, they would all sit around and it'd be warm. And then all of a sudden, my grandpa, or most of the time it was my grandpa, he would ask me a question. And I would perk up. I would perk up. It would be just, it's like, they're talking to me. They're talking to me. And he would ask me a question, and he would say something like, he might say, how's school going? Or he might say, what are you into? Or something like that. When adults get together, or used to when adults would get together, they would always say, what kind of gas mileage did you get? And they would say, what was the gas prices and things like that. And then they would start talking about adult conversations. But yet when they talked to me, then I was so excited that I would give the attention, and I would make that answer stretch way out because they were talking to me. You know, we should give Jesus our attention. Give Him our attention. You know, we should give Him everything. Sometimes life gets so busy, and we know that. Life gets so busy, especially during this time. You know, we should never leave out what He's done for us. There's a very familiar passage of Scripture that I've preached from many, many times. But I still think about it quite often. And that's when Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, the Bible says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's giving Jesus our attention. Spending time with him. That's a very wonderful story. That Mary was found at the feet of Jesus. The wise men came and they worshiped. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him what they had. But you know, I challenge you this day to just simply give him your life. Give him your life. When we arise, when we have our activities, when we have our daily routines, for those that still work when you go to work, for those that are retired when you go to the doctors, you know your everyday life, in anything we do, we should give it to Jesus. You should give it to Jesus. As we assemble together at every one of our worship services and as we come together as a body of believers, we should give our worship to Jesus. That's what we give him. We give him our all. We give him our all. You say, how do we give him our all? And we'll close with this. We give him our all by what's found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, what do we give to him? We give him us. We give him ourselves. For one who has everything, I believe that his desire would be just simply giving our lives wholeheartedly to him. You see, that's the message of Christmas. He gave his all for us, and we give our all for him. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we want to thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you for this reason. And as we celebrate and we see the lights and we see the presents and we see the family gatherings and we see all these things. And Lord, we know we enjoy getting together. We enjoy giving. But Lord, help us all take heart and realize the true gift that was given to us, and that was Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. But now, Lord, as we live our everyday life, help us to give back to you ourselves. That in everything that we do, no matter how big or how small, that we give our all. We thank you for our time together. And Lord, if you've spoken to hearts in any way, we ask that you nudge them to come forward and talk to you. Lord, we thank you for what you do for us. We now ask that your blessings be on this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.